Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. This is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, Vayakel. This week, Rabbi Elisha Anshelvitz discusses Vayakel. Rabbi Elisha Anshelvitz is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Elisha Anshelvitz.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Vayakel. In it, we deal with a description of the tabernacle's structure being built and of the utensils in the tabernacle and of people donating money for the tabernacle, the Mishkan, matters which we've dealt with already and matters which might perturb us a bit because there's a great focus on the aesthetics and using money and effort for the aesthetics as opposed to something ethical such as helping a fellow human being directly, helping the poor. In some ways, this week is even worse or more challenging because we also read Parshat Shkalim, in which people donate money annually for the upkeep of the Holy Temple, Tabernacle, Mishkan, Mikdash. And this raises the question again, why are we spending money on maintaining holy spaces instead of spending money on each other? So a few years ago, I actually spoke about Parshat Vayakel in a Pardes podcast, and I showed that the Mishkan is a classic egalitarian structure, not complete, but a somewhat classic egalitarian structure. There are even literary parallels between it and the story of the man. And if we summarize that podcast, in the story of the man, everybody received the same amount of food every day. Those who worked harder and those who were less successful ended up with the same amount of food every day. And everybody received a day of rest once a week, both men from the fields and women from cooking and baking in the home. Similarly, in Parshat Vayakel, we have a commandment to collect donations from everybody. Everybody gets to donate. A moment, we'll come back to that. And everybody ceases working on Shabbat when fire cannot be lit and therefore nobody can work. So everybody donates. In a sense, everybody has some legitimate equal access. Some people donate more, some people donate less, but everybody donates publicly. In Parshat Shkalim, we all pay the same annual tax, and therefore everybody has a certain right to this tabernacle holy space, which is actually in the Torah here, in this week's Parsha reading, is mobile. It's a mobile holy place. It's not a permanent building, which in the future will be a mobile building. It will be used to travel over Israel, all over the land of Israel, so that people can access the tabernacle in different places. So there's a level of egalitarianism about this, which is nice, but doesn't really answer the challenge. The challenge wasn't, are we creating a stratified society versus an egalitarian society? The challenge was, why are we spending money on aesthetics at all? Why aren't we simply spending our money on basic human needs? So to address that question, I'd like to turn to one detail from this week's Torah portion, Vayakel, chapter 38, Lamed Chet, Pasuk Chet, chapter 38, verse 8. They made a lavender of copper. They made a washing basin of copper. Okay, washing hands now, okay. And bemarot, they made them with mirrors. So you had this washing utensil from which people could pour water, out of which people could pour water to wash, presumably their hands, their feet, that get dirty as they walk around. The priests wouldn't wear shoes, so their hands and feet would get dirty. And they make it from copper with mirrors. Which mirrors? Hatzavot asher tzavu petach ha-moed. The mirrors of those who would assemble at the entrance of the Tent of Gathering. Those who would assemble is in the feminine, hatzavot, which means woman who would gather. And that phenomenon is described explicitly in the book of Samuel, Samuel 1, Shmuel Aleph, chapter 2, Perek Bet, where it says in verse 22, Chaf Bet, Hanashim Hatzavot Petach Olmoed, the woman who assembled at the entrance of Olmoed. So we have a copper faucet, let's call it, there are no water pipes. So in the assemblage of water, a basin of water through which one can pour water out onto one's hands and feet. And it's coated with mirrors donated by the woman who would assemble. And these raises a few questions. Why are we focused on washing hands and feet? Who cares? There are more important things in life. This is a holy place. Let's talk about God, ethics, what God wants from us in the world. And two, We're building a whole structure based on donations of gold and copper, but gold and expensive royal Tyrian blue dye. And why on earth are we using mirrors donated by people who women who assemble in order to cover this basin? The answers to these questions I want to suggest are based on really minute details of real life, and they open the window onto the role and need for aesthetics in order to be good people. So let's play through it step by step. The first step here is that priests actually would have to wash their hands. And one could debate the importance of washing hands. There's a famous debate between Jesus and the ancient rabbis, the Pharisees, over the importance of washing hands before eating. But the ancient rabbinic tradition, our tradition, is that, yes, people must wash their hands, for instance, before eating. That is in Mishnah Chagiga, chapter 2, Mishnah 5. In fact, we have details about how to wash the hands. We have to make sure they actually get clean. We have to remove any dirt material on the hands, and only then pour water on them once to remove the dirt grime that's left after we remove like serious pebbles and so forth from the hands, and then pour water again in order to remove the dirty water, and then wipe them in order to remove the water completely, and then we end up with clean hands. That's Mishnah Yadayim, tractate Mishnah Yadayim, chapter 2, Mishnah 2 to 3, and a parallel Tannaitic source, ancient rabbinic source, known as Tosefta Yadayim 1-3. But the issue is not this Jewish focus on, allegedly, Jewish rabbinic focus on how to do things properly in terms of ritual. It's clean hands, which is why Tannaim, ancient rabbis, also allowed one to eat a small item by placing it in a cloth, in a napkin, Mishnah Sukkah, chapter 2, 5. That way, one's dirty hands don't touch the food, and therefore, it's fine. In fact, since the issue is about cleaning hands, one doesn't have to use a cup. One can also simply scrub one's hands in a pool of water. If one has a pool of water, in other words, a mikveh, but in a pool of water, again, in the Mishnah Yadayim chapter. So the issue is eating with clean hands. And that makes sense. If you think about it, if one eats food bread, which in their culture meant bread with oil, or bread with tchina, or bread with hummus, or in fact, if one eats even wet foods such as wet vegetables, the Tannaim required one to wash hands because if I eat wet food with dirty hands, then everything becomes really disgusting. If I eat a dry cookie, then it'll be fine. Not dignified, but it won't be horrifying. But if I eat with dirty hands and wet food, or wettish food, then it'll be disgusting. And therefore, frankly, I don't have to wash my hands necessarily if I'm eating a dry cookie or eating, you know, a dry apple in the field. In fact, there were ancient rabbis, Babylonian Amoraim, the rabbis found in the Talmud. And one of them said he opposed the hoardiness of washing hands for mere snacks. And that's Rav Nachman in Tractate Chagiga 18. So we have a take here that one should eat with dignity, but one should not be overly haughty about it. Life has more important elements to it than, you know, clean hands at every moment, especially if one works in the fields. Most of us don't work in the fields, so perhaps we keep our hands clean. But when one works in the fields or one works as an actual laborer, then hands get dirty. There's a balance. I can eat something with my dirty hands if I'm hungry. I put it in my mouth, a dry cookie, a dry apple, but dry carrot maybe. But anything which is wettish becomes a problem because we shouldn't reach the point of disgust. Now let's go back to the temple. I'm serving in a temple. Should I be clean? Of course I should be. Okay, but it's more than that. I should be clean not only for my experience, but I should be clean for the sake of other people who want to experience a holy place. Now, that sounds like I just made a jump, but let's put it together. The reason in life that I bother eating in a dignified way with clean hands is so that I can experience life positively. Because we have all sorts of slight negative encounters that affect the quality of who we are and how we are. So we need to be wary. Now, on the one hand, not to be overly haughty about this, overly fastidious, to the point where we're so caught up in ourselves we can't see anybody else beyond ourselves. On the other hand, we actually need to take care that we don't become nihilistic about ourselves. And therefore, now if I enter Mikdash, a temple, where I'm serving, but also other people are seeing me serve, then of course the standard of cleanliness will be higher. So we have water, a sink, if you will, and we then wash your hands and feet before they serve. But it's not only for the priest's sake, it's for the people who... Okay, so now the people see the priest serving in this dignified, clean manner, and the people have an impressive encounter of holiness and temple and God in the world, which allows us to go leave and go about our daily lives in an uplifted fashion. So then why are the mirrors coating it? Well, you could say very simply, so that the priests can make sure that they're actually clean enough. But that's silly, because they can look at their hands and feet. More than that, the reason that they have to have their hands and feet clean is to appear dignified. So yes, perhaps the priests are meant to actually look in the mirrors and make sure that they have a dignified appearance. Well, in the ancient world, that was generally frowned upon. Men were not meant to be focused on their appearance. It wasn't manly. On the other hand, this is a public appearance. This is a public role. It's priests in the temple. And therefore, they have to take into account the way they will be seen. And one of the clearest ways of pointing out that these things are important in life is to actually have the mirrors donated by the people who were socially acceptable, for whom it was socially acceptable, to use mirrors, to actually care about how they appeared, which was women. So women come along with their mirrors and say, excuse me, we understand the importance of appearance, and we are going to place mirrors, or donate mirrors, that you will place around your sinks, if you will, and you will wash your hands and feet from those sinks, but also look at your total appearance to make sure that you are dignified when you appear publicly in front of all of us, men and women, when you are out there to impress us by the role of God in the world, God's beautiful temple. So to come back to the original question, why are we spending money on aesthetics? We're spending money on aesthetics because dignity matters to being human. It starts from just the basic dignity and non-nihilism of eating with clean hands, or at least not muddy hands. And again, it can go overboard. I understand. We can get to the point where people wash their hands overly fastidiously, or dress overly fastidiously in our modern world where our hands are normally clean. But it can get to that point. But we do have to also maintain those elements of dignity. And once we say that on a daily level with just mere eating, then sometimes we need more than that. We need more than clean hands. We need a place of beauty, a place of aesthetics, a place where we encounter God in that powerful, beautiful fashion, as opposed to just trying to encounter God in the midst of the hardship and difficulties of life. So we create a temple, or at least here it's a tabernacle. And it's a tabernacle in the middle of the desert. It's not a building that overwhelms everything, but it's a tabernacle. It's there, and we can access it, and we approach it, and we see a beautiful structure, and we're moved. But we also see people who do simple things, such as clean their hands and feet, and dress nicely, and look in the mirror and make sure they appear nice. And they do that as a reflection of the fact that that's part of what life requires of us. As a woman, remind, if you will, the men and the congregation, the whole people, by donating their mirrors and saying, excuse me, we need these. These are what we all need in order to function. So my suggestion is, yes, the more important things in life are what we do. More important aspects of life are caring about each other. And museums are not more important than people. But each one of us, not just rich, poor, each one of us needs dignity, needs clean hands, needs not to eat in dirty, disgusting fashions, just to maintain who we are, both for ourselves and so that we can help others. And that means we need more than that. We need mirrors to actually look at our appearance. We need more than mirrors. We need expensive copper washing basins. More than copper washing basins, we need gold in our structure, whatever, to be gold per se. But we need gold in our structures. We need whatever will impress us and remind us that life can be beautiful. And if we do that, then we can choose to do it in an egalitarian fashion, where everybody donates the same amount for the shekel, which is this week's reading of Shkelim. And we can follow the model of Parshat Vayakel, where everybody donates as much as they can, but everybody donates, and everybody can volunteer and bring their skills to bear in order to construct the shared space. We can do this in an egalitarian fashion. We can actually become a society of people that connect to each other. It's not a contradiction. It's an amalgamation. It's a picture of wholesomeness, that we bring our dignity in order to actually approach each other and connect with. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Amschelvitz. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.